You're listening to the Habitology Podcast with Melanie White, and today's episode is called How Following Up Grows Your Business. And by the way, if you're a regular listener and you've been listening to all of my episodes and really enjoying them, I'd appreciate you leaving a five-star review on your podcast platform. Thanks very much. Now, today's episode is for you if you're building business because you'll be pursuing new leads and making offers to grow your audience, right? And the surprising thing is, I find that after people make an offer or after they deliver a service, they tend not to follow up with their existing leads and customers or their new leads and customers. I see this happen so often, but it's an incredibly cost-effective way to grow your business. So let's explore how following up does grow your business and revenue and how to create, automate, and celebrate your follow-ups. For a lot of coaches and business owners I know, they have this business as usual approach, which is what I would call set and forget. What I mean is that when they go out to secure new leads, potential customers, or when they have worked with a customer, they forget about them. In the case of looking for new leads, maybe they put out an offer, but they have this vague, if you're interested, give me a call, and they never follow up. They never respond to the comments or the likes. Or they've run this great program for customers who've gotten a great result, and then they never call them again. Why do we do that? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? There are these people out there wanting to be helped or who have been helped, and we just dump them. I've spoken to a few coaches about this and they say, well, I don't want to feel pushy or salesy. I don't want to pressure them and put them offside. But hold your horses for a minute. Think about your own busy life. How often do you see something that you think is kind of interesting and you might like to buy that service or that product online and then you just forget about it? Or with an existing service provider, how often do you remember to book the next appointment or to follow up with them? And when you're struggling with something, how easy is it for you to reach out for help? Not that easy, right? Or maybe you're like me and you just hate making phone calls. Whatever the case, people have busy lives, and you don't need Harvard Business Review's insights to know that most people have hundreds of emails in their inbox each day and they're spending up to 2.6 hours on email, in fact. I know that for an existing service provider, I book my next appointment when I'm in the session or I book a block of appointments. And if they follow me up, then I feel special because nobody does that. I feel thankful that they've prompted me, that they've reached out because it's been in my mind and I haven't gotten around to it. A great example is recently South Coast Subaru, and I highly recommend them for servicing if you're in the Batemans Bay area, sent me a monthly newsletter and said, hey, your car's due for a service soon and a pink slip. Click here to book online. And I thought, oh, thank God, how easy is that? I don't have to phone them, which I was dreading. I just clicked and booked online. I was really thankful. If we're all busy, then the problem for you is not that your leads or your clients are ignoring you or that they're resistant or that they're going to feel pressured or that they don't want what you have to offer. It's just that they have a lot happening. Now step into those customer shoes for a moment. How would you feel if you'd seen an offer online and you'd made a comment like, yeah, that looks great, and nobody had come back to you? Wouldn't feel very professional, would it? Or if you had worked with someone for a period of weeks and had amazing service, but they never followed up to see how you were or whether you needed help. One word comes up for me when I think about that, and the word is forgotten. I'd question my trust in the person that makes the offer and never follows up. I'd wonder how reliable they are and whether they really care. Online CRM HubSpot cites a study by Brevet, and they say that for sales professionals in the US, about 44% of them follow up with a prospect only once before giving up. And after four follow-ups, about 94% of all salespeople have given up. But they also know that 80% of sales require an average of five follow-ups to close the deal. So these are stats for professional salespeople who are giving up before that fifth call, which they know is the one that will close the deal. Pretty interesting, right? And that begs the question, well, what's the follow-up rate for coaches and small business owners? Chances are it's not as much as it is for a sales professional. And that means that there's a lot of money being left on the table and there's a lot of opportunity. My chiropractor friend told me that if one of his existing customers doesn't rebook an appointment on the day, he will send out a physical letter in the post and then another, all about a month apart. And he says the highest percentage of people that rebook do so on the third letter. So that's his existing customers that he's re-engaging. And actually, it's going to be way easier to follow up and secure appointments with them because he has an existing relationship. It's much easier than with someone you've never worked with. And that's a whole other tactic to think about. Of course, you know, if you don't want to follow up leads and clients, that's okay. You can let them go. You can start from scratch, put yourself out there all over again, spend more money on advertising. But really, who wants to be on that treadmill when you can invest in building more valuable and supportive relationships and helping people to get better results and to see you as a reliable and trustworthy person? That's what it comes down to, really. So how do you follow up to grow your business? I want to start from the beginning and talk about setting yourself up for success. And so before following up, there's something that you need to be doing, and that is making sure that everything you put out there gets a direct response from each lead or customer and creates some sort of a connection. And that means that if you're putting something out on social media, it's going to lead the person to join a database or a list or a group where you can have more regular contact. So this is for new leads, people you haven't worked with before. So what does this really mean? Well, it means that, let's say you put something out there, may not be an offer, it may just be a post and people comment on it. Whatever the action they're doing, you're going to invite them to join your newsletter or to have a further chat or to read one of your blogs or something. You want to keep the relationship going. So rather than just leaving those comments unanswered, or rather than just not helping people, anyone that comments or requests information is led somewhere. And you're being very clear about an offer. If you're interested in this, respond by this date. So you're asking them for a direct response to take another step with you. And when you do this, it's not being pushy, actually. It's helping them to get clarity on whether they're serious about building a relationship with you. That is, if you're asking people to join your list or book a free call or whatever, that's the vehicle that allows you to follow up. And without that ongoing contact opportunity, you've got nothing. And so if the person doesn't subscribe to your list or doesn't join your group or doesn't read your blog or doesn't take up the offer, they may not be interested now, or they may not be interested yet. By asking them a question, by asking them to respond directly somehow, you're getting them to think about whether they want to build the relationship with you up to the next level. So I'm just saying that as a preface to following up, because unless you're putting stuff out there that builds a list, that engages people, that asks them to take action, then you won't have any means of following up. Hopefully that makes sense. So with that in place, the direct response and that customer connection, the next step is to define when and how you're going to follow up. So what I'm saying is you need to define your process for following up. So for example, let's say that you run live events regularly, like a live webinar or a live workshop, and that's part of your marketing strategy. When somebody comes to that live event, You might make an offer, or hopefully you make an offer at the end to join your next program, and perhaps they've never worked with you before. So you need to know what you're going to do at the end of that webinar, what options you're going to give them, what the next two steps are for you, and also to be able to communicate with them what the next two steps for them will be. Firstly, you've got to be very clear on where you're leading people. So what exactly is the follow-up product or service you're offering? If you're running a webinar, it's not just for fun, right? It's going to be to help people to buy your next program. And so you need to know at the end of that webinar, when you're explaining that there's a program available, you're going to need to know what those next two actions are that they will take and that you will take, so that they can know exactly what to do. And if you plan that in advance, that means you'll have a very clear intention and you're mentally prepared to talk about those things effortlessly and with confidence in that webinar or workshop. And you need to make sure that the follow-up steps are active steps and not passive steps. So what's the difference? Well, an active step is inviting somebody to do something, to sign up for something. And it's click here or wait for my email or whatever it is. Passive is call me if you're interested. And having said that, that can be relevant in a few cases, but generally you're going to want to have some sort of an active couple of steps. So in other words, on the day of the session, you come to the end of that webinar or that workshop that's promotional. You're going to let them know what their two steps are, and then you're going to follow up with them. So let's say that you've run a webinar and you said, okay, expect to see an email from me within the next 12 hours. I'm going to invite you to book a call with me or to sign up. That's the two options if you want to proceed. So when you get that email, please respond right away and either book the call or book in for the session. If you're not interested, that's okay. You can let me know that as well. So if I've said that at the end of a webinar or workshop, the audience really clearly knows what to expect. They're not going to get a shock tomorrow when they see this email in their inbox that I haven't warned them about. I've been very clear that people who are interested will need to take one of these steps, either book a call or sign up using the button in the email. Now, if someone told you that and you were leaving a webinar or a workshop and you knew to expect that email, how would you feel versus just having it show up in your inbox? There's a big difference, right? So managing expectations is important, and that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying you need to know what those next two steps are. Now, over to you, thinking about that for yourself, what's your follow-up process going to look like? Here are a couple of ideas for you. At the end of your webinar or workshop, and we're just using this as an example, there could be many other things that you're doing to generate leads, but at the end of that, invite them to register for your program. Make sure you've outlined the two steps and say you'll follow up for confirmation either way so that they know to expect to hear from you. That's what I've just described, right? Within the next 24 hours, follow up with a friendly email with a link to book now or have a chat. But it doesn't end there. Remember, we heard the statistics, it takes 5 follow-ups. So you've already had that live event and you've had this email with the invite to book now or have a quick chat. There would be a second email, maybe another day later, with a link to book now or have a quick chat. And perhaps you're going to put a link to some frequently asked questions. It's a page on your website where people are curious about the program but not sure. And they might be feeling that after a couple of days. Yeah, it's kind of fading in my memory now. It was kind of a good workshop. I'm not really sure. Does it do this? Will it include that? So by putting that link in the email to that FAQ page, they get their questions answered. And then maybe there's another email 72 hours later with a link to a blog or a case study where somebody who has done that program has succeeded and they're telling their story and they've got a testimonial and there's a final invitation there. So you've actually given them a few opportunities over a few days to book in. And given that there's perhaps 5 touch points before somebody would buy, that's an American statistic for salespeople. It may be different in Australia or other countries, but you might want to have another fifth follow-up. But you've been really clear from the beginning that you will follow up, that you'll give people the opportunity, that you know that they're busy, and you're giving them the chance to have their questions answered and to see the case study. So these are just some examples of what following up after a workshop or webinar might look like. And it's totally up to you as to what you do and how you do it, but that could be one option. It doesn't have to be a workshop or webinar either. It might have been a challenge that you've run or something else. It could be something that someone's downloaded from your website and you're still going to have that follow-up sequence. Some people like to make phone calls as a follow-up. They might say, I'm going to phone you tomorrow and ask you if you'd like to join. That could be another way to do it instead of email. So what about existing clients? What does that kind of follow-up look like? Let's say somebody completed a coaching program with you and they finished their last session about 2 months ago and you want to check in with them and see how they're going and find out if they need any support or a top-up session. When would you follow up and how would you do it? Well, 2 months might be quite a long time, but it might be just enough to see how they're going. 6 weeks to 2 months is probably a good time, I think, to follow up after someone's completed a coaching program. You could send them a how are you going email or a direct message, depending on your relationship with them. And as a follow-up, you might ask them to fill out a survey talking about them. So not a survey about you and your business, but a survey asking them what's new or different for them and what sort of progress have they made, what have they learned about themselves, etc. Following that, you could ask them if they need a top-up or a check-in session. Has anything gotten in the way or do they need some support with a specific thing? That could be a free chat that you do that leads to a paid offer or a single paid session. Once again, I've just made this up, but it's an example of how you might follow up with a past client. I mentioned my chiropractor friend sends letters. Totally up to you as to how you do it. I invite you to think about this really carefully and come up with your own ideas. And when you're doing that, consider how you'd like to be treated if you were the client. Now, how do you automate this? Well, it's a great idea to come up with a few templates and to template your follow-up once you've mapped out the process and the steps. You might even just have a checklist of those steps. Then you can create any templates that you might need. For example, email templates, direct message templates, phone script outlines, those sorts of things. By doing this, you can easily rinse and repeat your follow-up process. Or you could get a VA to do it for you, for example, emails. And then the final thing to really make this work is to action your follow-ups. It's one thing to sketch out a process. It's one thing to create the templates for those emails or phone calls or messages. But you actually need to diarize times to follow up and then do that follow-up. What I would suggest is you think about scheduling perhaps 1 day every 3 months where you schedule at least half of the day to phoning or emailing old clients to check in with them, or every 2 months, up to you. Maybe you have a dedicated time slot for follow-ups in the 3 days after you make an offer. So if you're making an offer once a month, you allow time in the 3 or 4 days following that offer. Maybe that offer is an online offer or a live webinar or whatever you do. Put 3 days aside after that to follow up all of the people who showed any sort of interest. That could include an email that goes out like we described earlier, but it could also be answering questions on email or by phone or on Facebook Live, doing a Q&A. So in other words, make time for your follow-ups and therefore make time for your clients. Really make the time to understand their needs and wants, to understand what their questions are, what their hesitation might be, and what their urgent desire is. Okay, covered a few things today. Let's summarize. Leads and clients are people you have some sort of a relationship with already, and therefore they're interested in what you do. If you want to generate more revenue and grow your business, then following up with leads and past clients is an easy and important process to help you get there. If you're feeling a lack of confidence about it, that's your thing, not theirs. We all have busy lives and they probably want some sort of help or support. And if you're not offering that to them, somebody else will. However, if you are clear on what your next offer is, how you can help people further, and what their next steps are, you can systemize that follow-up with templates and diarized actions, and then you'll be well on your way to actively building relationships and increasing your revenue. This is a really low-cost way to build business compared to spending money on advertising and starting again from scratch. So the one thing you might need to do is get over your fears, develop a process, and start doing it. I hope this episode's been useful, and if you have questions, hit me up on the contact page on my website. Thanks for being here, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.